WildTalkRadio.com. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket.
Pipe Bomb.
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
Jackie Feist.
You want to see the text message my little sister Shalene sent me last night? Here it is. OMG, Kevin Nash, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. If you can pay it, it's all about pay. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules.
I really enjoy this song. Sorry, that's why it kept going a little bit. I just like this
song.
Oh,
no, most epic wrestling entrance song in history.
Right behind Kane's.
Which Kane?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I love Kane, but I think, I mean, even more so than Kane, that's the most epic wrestling entrance song ever.
Edge is up there as well.
Yeah, Edge's is pretty good.
I like that one better than Edge's.
We can all debate that sometime on another show.
That could be the next great debate, the best wrestling entrance of all time.
Oh, God, I'm not putting that one together.
So now that we are on the other side of the end of our entrance, and now that the show has officially started, can we get our big announcement?
I haven't done anything yet. Can I introduce the show first?
No.
Why can't I introduce the show right now? Am I allowed to?
Because this news is so major, so epic, it has to be given right now.
Right now? Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show, right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by BotchedMerch.com, home of unique, limited edition wrestling merchandise, including the Master of 1004 Holds t-shirt, available now. Go get it at BotchedMerch.com.
Wait, what? What was that?
What?
We have a sponsor?
We have a sponsor?
We have a sponsor. How about that one?
Yay!
And what was the name of the website again?
You can go to botchmerch.com.
I'm going there right now.
Yeah.
So do we get a t-shirt, you know, since we got the racks?
Well, we'll talk. It's botched, B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch, M-E-R-C-H.com. Check it out. You can get limited edition merchandise right there on that website. They are the new sponsor of WildTalkRadio.com.
Go check it out right now.
I like the Master of 1004 Holds. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. They have some nice, unique stuff on their website. Check them out.
Oh, Later Marks. I like that one, too.
Later Marks. Hall of Fame.
Armbar.
Yeah, Hall of Fame, Savage and Snake.
Oh, Lindsay, I have found our button.
We have a button?
There's a button. I've got, it's a black and white button, or a black and red button, and white lettering. It says, I've got big balls. This is my button.
See, I'm already making a sale right now. So there you go. You can make one too. Go to botchedmerch.com and get all the stuff. They have, buttons.
There's a mark out t-shirt like tap out. That's cool.
Still, Kane Ken's like still real to me, damn it, sure. So there you go, botmerch.com.
Hello, my name is Teddy.
So yeah, check them out, give them a look, you know. Hello, I'm awful. It's great stuff.
Yes, I am a model. That's for Lindsay.
I'm not a model.
Well, between the two of us, you're the model. I'm the bitch, and you're, well, I mean, one of us has to be a bitch, and one of us has to be the model, and since I'm already the bitch.
So does that mean I have a halo and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, there we go. Botchmerch.com is the new website that's sponsoring WildTalkRadio.com. Go there, buy some stuff, and tell
them
we sent you. What?
Can you make the "Hello, my name is Teddy" a shirt, please? I would buy that. I would so buy that in a heartbeat.
We shall talk.
I have no money, but I would buy it.
So yeah, check that website out. We'll be talking about it more as you know days and weeks go by here on WildTalkRadio.com. Botchmerch.com. I think that's enough plugging for them for the moment.
Well, I'm still shopping, but I'll be listening.
You're still shopping.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to go through here.
All right, just stop. Let's get through all, then we'll do some more shopping, okay?
Real men have curves. Yes, thank you. A real men has curves t-shirt. Oh, my God.
Sale. Sold.
Sale, yeah.
Not even
sorry,
9 minutes. We've already made it. We're going to make a sale. How about that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because I think Jackie and I have to talk about the first 30 minutes of Raw anyway, seeing as our producer was busy watching other things.
No. I only missed like 15 minutes.
Oh, only 15 minutes. You only missed the first epic, most epic 15 minutes of Raw ever.
No, I saw that. I missed the
beginning. Oh, you saw that?
I saw that. I had them both on, one on the computer and one on the TV.
Well, then you missed the tag team match, which was just as good.
I saw the figure.
CM Punk and Santino as a tag team? Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
See, Cobra?
She was pretty excited.
But we'll get there. Let's get there first, okay?
Do we have to? I can't just squee and get it over with. I have to hold it in?
Yes, you have to hold your squee in just a little bit. It's torture. I know.
You're so mean to us, God.
Oh, yeah, I'm so mean. Mm-hmm.
You are!
So make you hold in your squee, right?
Okay, Brock, I have a question. Just so I'm still looking through stuff on the website. How much of the sponsorship money is going into the jail,
worry.
Bail money fund?
It's going to pay off the server first.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm just looking to see if I want to wear any of these to the live WWE event in July, and I'm like, yeah, I forgot there's, you know, still a need for bail money.
Right, right. Well, buy the shirt. You'll be fine.
And I'm still trying to figure out a way to get down to El Paso to go to this event with her.
Yes, I'm telling you, you have until the 17th.
3 days to come up with $400 for a plane ticket?
Yeah, because then I have to buy the tickets for the event.
Which sticker did you want as a t-shirt? The "Hello, my name is Teddy"?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. So yeah, let's get to Raw, because we could spend all night talking about botchmerch.com. You know, it's an awesome website. Check them out. But Triple H came. We started off Raw with Triple H with his brace, and then Laurinaitis made some comments towards him, and you know. Triple H then wished John Laurinaitis good luck with Cena on Sunday. You know, Laurinaitis had his support and sympathy for Hunter, you know, that backstabbing kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Triple H came out and, well, he cut an awesome promo.
He really did. That was a great way to open the show.
He talked about how, you know, when he was standing in the ring with wrestling The Undertaker and with Shawn Michaels there, that the only thing going through his mind was, wish we brought legitimacy to this.
Yeah, I like that we still have the smart ass in Hunter. It's corporate Hunter, but he's still a smart ass, and I'm okay with that.
He also took some shots at Brock Lesnar being a quitter, leaving WWE, leaving UFC as a quitter. Hunter was a total smartass tonight.
He was. And I'm okay with that. He's rocking that suit, too.
Better suit than the one he wore when he got hurt.
And I like that he had the little green DX tie on there. That was a nice touch.
It really was. So he continued to take shots at Brock Lesnar, the legitimacy, bringing it back, and you know, and all that fun stuff. And you know, he said Lesnar stepped into the ring, gave him everything he could handle, but Cena never quit. Just like his shirt says, he rose above hate or whatever. Is that his tagline still?
No, I think that's. Done. I still think it's gone back to never give up or
never
say die or something like that.
Yeah, it's not on a t-shirt at botchmerch.com. I can't tell. So, out came the legal advisor of Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. Exactly what we wanted, too. We wanted Paul and Hunter, and we got Paul and Hunter.
And a stooge!
Yeah, unidentified stooge.
Where was Patterson? Where was Briscoe?
Yeah, at least with Patterson and Briscoe, we got some stooges with a minimal amount of wrestling credibility. I mean, depending on how much you knew about their history, that guy didn't even get named.
Yeah, Paul Heyman came out talking about how Brock Lesnar and John Laurinaitis and it entered into a binding oral agreement because of the live television audience. We were witness to it. So if he gets sued, would we be called?
That's a possibility.
We might be witnesses in this legal case.
Or they may just bring in the, you know, footage.
That too. But wouldn't it be cool?
No, wait, that didn't get caught on film since they never acknowledged the cameras.
But it was in the middle of the ring. So there is cameras. Loophole.
There's always a loophole.
Yeah. Paul Heyman said, by the way, I love how Paul Heyman says, Brock Lesnar. Love that. So yeah, he came out and basically, said Triple H was arrogant. He illegally ripped up the contract. He was said it was a breach of contract. You bring a fighter into an entertainment company and then you don't like when he wants to fight? Paul Heyman asked to Triple H.
Which was the lamest question I've ever heard.
That was fitting, I thought.
Well, here's the thing. When Lesnar was in the ring fighting, which is what he's paid to do, he fought, and he lost. When he broke Triple H's arm, that was not a match. That was not a fight. That was taking care of business. They were all wearing suits. No one was wearing tights. No one. There was no bell. There's places you fight, and there's places you don't, even in fighting.
And technically, Brock Lesnar committed assault.
Yes, thank you very much. That was kind of my thing. Oh, really? You're going to charge Triple H with assault? I do believe... If memory serves, Lindsay and I were talking about this. I think that he may have touched Triple H. If you want to get technical about it, I think he may have touched Triple H first when he was making fun of his arm. So you could very well say that's assault, but I'm just kind of, you know, I'm going to have to laugh it off that the representative of Brock Lesnar is suing Triple H for assault.
After Brock Lesnar broke Triple H's arm, which I'm surprised they're not going to, and they may still do that, where they don't countersue for assault with Brock Lesnar and Triple H.
Oh, they might. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I liked how he grabbed his face and said, and Heyman's reaction, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I thought that was tremendous. Paul Heyman is one of the best people out there. He's a great character.
Oh, he is. He totally sold the moment. He made it completely work. And, you know, everybody was expecting Heyman to be there. And for once, they actually went with the expectation. And they had Heyman completely sell it, which was great.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things. So I just kind of feel like there was a time in WWE history when more emphasis was put on not only being able to sell in the ring, but also being able to sell a promo in order to be able to actually know how to act and use a promo to get yourself over instead of just, you know, dancing around with your funkadactyls and shit. So it's really, it's nice to see someone in the ring again that actually knows how to act and knows how to, you know, cut a good promo. Oh my God, really?
Yeah, promo skills have been kind of lacking the last few years. They haven't had any really good talkers. I mean, they got lucky with CM Punk just because CM Punk is amazing. But short of him, they don't have that many good talkers.
And I mean, they don't have anywhere near as many as they used to during the time when that used to matter.
And it should still matter because that's kind of how you get yourself over, is you talk to people. Amazing!
Amazing how that happens. Anyway, Paul Heyman served Triple H with the Stooge. When we talked about, you know, Triple H going after Heyman, and then Triple H leaves, Heyman says that Mr. Bossman just screwed up again. He put his hands on him for assault and battery, meaning he will see him in court.
Yeah, I kind of like what Kane Kitten said, and everybody was kind of saying this. So the old head of ECW is suing...
suing someone for assault and battery. That was my thing. I was like, really? Paul Heyman, Mr. ECW, is suing someone for assault and battery? Wow.
Irony. Isn't it great?
It really is. So that's how we left that. Then you had some uncomfortable commentary. That kind of seemed odd. I should have just went to commercial. But then they plugged everything that was coming up the rest of the night, including later on tonight, we have some big red guy.
Yay!
In action against the Big Show. We'll get more into Big Show later on in the program. But this
sorry to interrupt, but it seemed like they had a couple really awkward moments tonight on the show. Or they booked it oddly.
Well, either it was booked oddly, or all of the uncomfortable moments were kind of just...
there?
Well, not only there, but an attempt to put over Laurinaitis as a heel. But I was like, my thing was, is that Show did such a wonderful job of selling what happened. I don't necessarily know that the rest of it was really necessary. I mean, there were actually people tweeting online during Raw about how that segment with Show made them uncomfortable.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm like talking about after that, you know, where you had the six-man match.
Oh.
Or the tag match or whatever it was, you know, where which we'll get into later, but yeah. There were some unintentional awkward moments that they had that just they could have done without.
Well, we'll get there. Up next, the Sixers win. Oh, wait, there was a match on Raw. CM Punk and Santana.
Oh, my God, Rock.
Who gives a crap about the Sixers? I mean, really?
The who?
I do, so, eh.
Do we need to start, like, a hockey show or something?
Sixers or basketball? Sixers.
Whatever. Do we need to start a basketball show?
No, we don't need to start a basketball show.
Oh, yeah, it's either hockey or basketball around here.
Or baseball. And don't just wait till the summer and the fall. It's going to be football season around here.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
WTR Fantasy Football coming soon.
Sweet!
But up next, CM Punk and Santino Marella take on Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes.
This is actually a really good match.
Yeah, as soon as Lindsay heard the pairing of Santino and CM Punk, she squeed to the point of something that would rival the squee that she did when Kane came out. I mean, it was
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Santino and CM Punk, it's adorable. Because CM Punk is trying not to laugh through the whole fucking match. It was great.
So
I may be the only one that liked it, but I liked it. I'm sorry.
From what I saw of it, it was a really good match.
It was.
I caught the second, after they went to break, I caught everything after the break, and it was a really good conclusion to the contest.
Just like to point out, Beard versus Beard this Sunday. Who's going to win?
We save that for Thursday.
Okay.
Oh, we don't have quite that much time. We would need a few hours.
True. But anyway, there was the quote-unquote failed suicide dive by Santino Marella.
Yeah, and let me just say that Santino Marella sold that really well.
He did.
We actually got some messages from some people who will go unnamed wanting to know if that was a legitimate botch or if they planned that.
No, let's name drop.
Well, you're welcome to name drop. We're going to be nice.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who did it, so tell me. Oh, all right. Sorry, Phantom.
Oh, Rock.
God. He's being mean today. Just ignore him.
All right, I'll shut up now.
Meet producer today.
I'll shut up now. You guys can talk.
So, Lindsay, how great was it when Kane came out?
It was awesome when Kane came out.
All right.
You knew we were going to go right for it. I don't even know why you just let us. You realize we would talk this entire show about Kane, right? If you let us.
Yeah, I understand. And that's why I'm the producer. I know exactly how to time things. Anyway, CM Punk and Santino Marella defeated Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes. Up next, Beth Phoenix versus Alicia Fox. Thoughts?
Pretty pointless match, honestly.
Layla, don't wear those sparkly shorts ever again.
Well, here's the thing. When she came out, when Beth came out and had her match, you know, she wasn't selling the injury anymore. And so, like, okay, so we're getting back on track now. She's going to go out there and she's going to dominate everybody. And which she did. I mean, she went out there and ran over Alicia Fox. By the way, I would like to take a poll. How many of us know an African-American woman with blood red hair? Anyway, so Layla comes out and is watching Beth from the stage, which is normal. Champions usually scout their runners-up, so it's not a big deal. But, you know, Beth went after Alicia after the match was over, and Layla ran down to save her, which, again, this is pretty run-of-the-mill stuff. But what kind of got me was when she bulldogged Beth and then Beth rolled out of the ring, Layla's first reaction was to turn around towards Beth, put her hands near her breasts, and run her hands down her body. And I was just like, oh, for fucking Christ's sake. So it's good to know that the priorities of the Divas division have not changed.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So my only question is, was that her WrestleMania outfit?
Yes, it was. She's 2 months too late, but yes, that was it. Or a month too late, I guess, at this point.
After the match, Layla tried to... I guess she did actually attack Beth Phoenix, hit some sort of face buster on her. I believe that's...
That was decent. I liked how they're putting Layla over as a fighting champion. I still have to give Layla time just because I hated her in Lay Cool. And I pretty much hated everything she's done, so we'll see if she can win me over. And she's using Michelle McCool's music. That just sets me off right there.
Yeah, that's like nails down a chalkboard for her. So Layla, you might want to find some new music.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, might help. I might like you better.
They listen to us, you know that, right?
They have our Skype bugged.
They do. They really do.
Yes, I am convinced certain members of the WWE locker room have our Skype chat bugged. Just saying.
Send Taker out and have him get naked in the middle of the ring. Thank you. Followed by Kane. No. And then CM Punk.
She'll go on all night. We better go.
No.
And send Drew McIntyre to my house.
And once Kane gets all of his clothes off, send him naked to my house. Thank you. Those are our demands. Thank you very much.
You know what? Don't bitch about the guys getting naked in the ring, Kane Kittens. We had to put up with brawn panties, lingerie, paddle on a pole, dildo on a pole, mud matches, gravy matches, all
Thank
kinds
you.
Of shit with the women.
Jello matches.
You know what? It's the guy's turn. Somebody can go out there, they can do a tuxedo match and get naked, or they can just get naked. I'm okay with this.
So instead of Zack and Miri make a porno, Jackie and Kane make a porno?
That sounds awesome. Right there. No one's going to get to see it, but hell yeah, I'll make it.
We had a nice little video package for John Cena as Make-A-Wish contributions.
And they start to cover for Cena's divorce. Good PR work, Pete.
Well, you see, that's something Lindsay and I were talking about, and we'll probably go into some detail about it on Thursday if we have time. I'm wondering now that Cena is going through the divorce process and will at some point find some hoochie somewhere that he wants to spend some intimate time with. How much of that time is going to come from the time allotted to the Make-A-Wish Foundation? But all of a sudden, he's got a motivation to want to be at home. Is all this charity work going to continue?
Talk more about it Thursday on the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by BotchMerch.com.
Yep.
Yay.
Go to their website. It's awesome.
Yes. Speaking of websites, we got the announcement of what is going to be the pre-show for Over the Limit on YouTube. It will be the one and only internet champion Zack Ryder against the big red machine Kane.
Now, is this a defense of the internet championship? Could Kane come away from this with a shiny new internet belt?
Honestly, it should be.
I agree.
It would be hilariously ironic if he does. Seeing as it's a man that hates the internet.
Oh yeah, no shit. This guy would rather have his toenails pulled off with a pair of rusty pliers than be on the internet.
You know what gets him off on a Saturday night is not our concern.
The hell it's not.
John Laurinaitis and David Otunga came to the ring as they went to break.
By the way, I'd just like to point this out. I called this last night in the post-show chat.
She did.
Thank you very much.
We had Kane versus The Big Show.
I'm a little irritated just because I went ahead and got my Kane fix. I got WrestleMania 28 in the mail today, and I rewatched the show again. Which I'd like to talk about Thursday just a little bit, just to rant and rave a little bit more about it. But yeah, went ahead, got my Kane fix, and then what the fuck do? They put him on TV. Not that I'm complaining, but damn it, a little forewarning would be nice so I don't over-Kane myself.
Over-Kane.
There is no such thing.
You're right, but I don't want to OD on Kane. That could be bad. They'll just find me sitting in the middle of my living room twitching. Okay, we've been told to talk up this match a bit, which we are more than happy to do.
Yeah, so first of all, yes, anyone who knows us knows that there was a massive squee fest when he came out, and once everybody caught their breath, I was actually really happy to see this match because Kane is probably one of my favorites of all time, as is Big Show. So I enjoy watching these two wrestle. Each other. I mean, I like the big guys.
It still amazes me just because it shows you how truly large Big Show is when he dwarfs someone the size of Kane. If you've ever seen Kane in person, he is not a small man. Not by any stretch. So
no.
I can't imagine how large Show is in comparison. I mean, it's just, he's huge. And I mean, it was a great match. You had Laurinaitis and Otunga sitting at ringside. Otunga's back from the trial, supporting the wife, as he should have been. And he was in his matching bow tie and coffee cup. Eve has since been demoted. And Laurinaitis was sitting in on his little throne, tweeting or texting or whatever, which I'd like to read what somebody wrote on Twitter later about the ending of the show. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a great match. I mean, you know, a lot of people were complaining about it and saying that, oh, you know, it's boring, it's whatever. I thought it was a good match. You know, it's, I mean, but, you know, I'm biased.
You're biased. Except for the finish with the choke slam.
Give Kane a break.
Yeah, that choke slam was kind of...
That was kind of weak.
That was kind of... Yeah, Kane, you know I love you more than life, but... Oh, that didn't go over for you well, honey.
Oh, Mitch, I want it bad. Where did you find these?
I want it bad is now going to be clipped. Just putting it out there.
Don't care. I have Drew McIntyre, and I'm happy.
Oh,
just read it. Yeah, she's got pictures of Drew McIntyre, so she's going to be happy for the next few minutes. But yeah, that unfortunate last chokeslam, I don't know if that was Kane's fault or Show's fault, but these things happen, and Kane still has the pretty, so I don't mind it. It's okay.
After the finish with the after the distraction, we saw the basically Laurinaitis wanted Big Show to apologize for his making fun of his voice last week on Monday Night Raw. Big Show made an emotional speech about 18 years of his life being in the business. He talked about wanting this is the one thing that he loves and he'd be okay, you know. He can leave the walk away with his held high held his head held high and have no regrets. It's what he loved to do. He basically asked John Laurinaitis not to erase the last 18 years of his life for something petty. Show basically said he could fine him or ban him from even ever having another championship match again. He said that if it's his imitation of his voice was offensive, he's sorry. Laurinaitis, you know.
Laurinaitis needed to turn up his hearing aid because apparently he didn't hear that.
Yeah, he didn't hear that. Made him try do it again. He said, I'm sorry again.
Selective hearing.
Like
it's
some
a
people,
male thing,
like
yeah.
Like some people we know. what? I didn't say anything.
Stop. You're probably poking the bear, so stop poking the bear.
Tonight I can. Laurinaitis said he was very passionate, but didn't hear him say, I'm sorry, so he said it again. He then wanted him, the people in the cheap seats to hear him, so Show repeated again. Laurie said Show had to beg him, get on his knees and beg. Then we saw a very emotional Big Show start to cry. He almost got on his knees a couple times, but said he couldn't, he wouldn't, but said, I apologize. And I apologize for making fun of your voice. And he'll never do it again. Are you happy now? Are you happy?
Yeah. I mean, the segment was really good. I mean, I'll give them credit. It was very well done.
Right.
And it was, it basically solidified, you know, his place as a heel. It was, basically, as a Big Show, as a longtime Big Show fan, my thing now is I'm just going to sit back and wait for the payoff.
Right. Because
obviously he's not really fired. And considering that I just sat back and watched one of my all-time favorite WWE superstars get utterly humiliated to the point of tears in the ring, there better be a hell of a payoff.
Yeah, Big Show did eventually get down on his knees after pleading not to do it. He apologized and then, as general manager of both Raw and SmackDown, I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. And then said, Show, you're fired.
With a great big shit-eating grin on his face.
That's, I think, where they kind of fucked this up a little bit. Overall, I thought it was a great segment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really put Laurinaitis over as the megalomaniacal dick heel, which is exactly what I guess they were wanting to do, so it worked. My only qualm with it was that instead of him saying as the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown, he should have said as the executive head of talent relations,
yeah.
Yeah, you're fired. Because the general manager, yeah, okay, he can fire you, but as the executive vice president, he could really fire you. And Jackie brought up a good point afterwards of show is technically contracted talent, so wouldn't they have to do something with his contract? And, you know, we all know it's a fake firing, but it's, you know, making fun of John Laurinaitis' voice, I'm pretty sure, is not grounds for termination.
Termination, yeah. Now, if they, at some point tonight, if the WWE puts out a statement saying they have come to terms with the contract of Paul White, I will flip, because they're really working to sell that angle. But I don't think it's going to go that far. And Lindsay's right. He totally, I don't recall ever hearing Teddy Long or William Regal or, you know, Mick Foley say anything about wishing anyone well in their future endeavors. If you're going to make an inside joke like that, at least fucking make it right.
Well, that's Laurinaitis' thing, though. That's what he tells everyone when he lets them go, is that I wish you the best of luck in all your future endeavors. So, if he didn't say it, everybody would be extremely disappointed.
Plus, he has a t-shirt about it, so it's his catchphrase. So yeah, we had the firing of the Big Show right there. Kind of awkward coming back, because then we had the dance with Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls.
Yeah, I feel bad for those poor bastards. I really do. Honestly, based on the way that they closed the show, they should have done the firing of Big Show at the end.
I agree.
You have John Laurinaitis so pissed off. Do the thing with Cena in the middle. Do the setup they did with Cena. Then you do the Funkadactyls. That's a little bit better. And then you close the show with that gut-wrenching segment of show getting fired. And John Laurinaitis is just so pissed off that he doesn't even want to deal with it.
Well, that could have been, like, if you would have switched the Cena and show segments around, Laurinaitis found out about the letter from the board of directors. He was so pissed off, he felt like he had to, in order to reestablish himself as a threat, as a credible threat, and as someone people better respect and acknowledge, he went out and took it out on the 7-foot Big Show. I just think it would have worked better that way, because it was kind of awkward to go from firing Big Show to Brodus Clay.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for him because the crowd was just like, what the fuck? And it took him a little bit to recover from that. It really did.
Yeah.
So we had R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, and Brodus Clay accompanied to the ring by the Funkadactyls and Little Jimmy. Take on The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and Jack Swagger. I get a kick out of Little Jimmy coming to the ring.
You know what? If you're gonna sell it right.
I guess so. And he does a great job of putting Little Jimmy over, which is kind of a shame that because he's one of those that's money on the mic. He's so funny, and it's just like if he's gonna do all this stuff, I kind of would like to hear it. You know, but they don't give him a microphone much anymore, which sucks.
Tim Stein in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com, which is now sponsored by botchmerch.com. If you use the promo code WILDTALK, you can get 5% off your order right now. Do it. Buy
it. Do it. Go. Buy shit.
Buy it right now.
Real men have curves. Go buy the t-shirt. That t-shirt is win.
He said,
and yes, Tim, I understand the show is not the main storyline or angle, but just for flow of the show.
Well, also, the show Laurinaitis may not be the main draw for going into Over the Limit. I understand that. But if it's going to put Laurinaitis over as a heel and get him some heat going into Over the Limit, it's done its job.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end, I'm sorry, I really didn't even care when the Laurinaitis Cena thing happened.
She got something to eat. Yeah, she came back and tells me, so what happened?
So, I mean, they could have easily switched those segments, and it would have still worked.
Right. In the end, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, and Brodus Clay beat Ms. Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was a bit awkward. It was really hard to, I mean, the Twitter account, the parody of WWE Creative Twitter account made a very good point. Is, yeah, we're going from wanting to watch, you know, Big Show get fired from that to dancing. Yeah, that's great. It was odd. And I think it would have looked really good going from, you know, fading to black, showing Show just bawling like that. It would have been a very powerful way to end it.
Yeah. It would have been nice because this is technically the go home for Over the Limit, so what a better way to send it home than Lorna and his fires Show, and that's the last thing you see him do going into the pay-per-view. And then you can push the by the book match on SmackDown.
Or you could have put John Cena's video package there and spread it out. Give the fans if you put, you do this with, you know, where they did it, you put the John Cena video package there because you get 5 minutes, let the fans
recover,
you get commercial, video package, commercial, and you're back into it with the six-man tag. If I was booking a wrestling show. I don't book a wrestling show. Sorry, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't book Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. It's not what I do.
Oh, God.
You just built the websites.
Exactly. She said it.
Oh, God.
I didn't say it.
And now you book the sponsors, too.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyway, up next.
Don't poke the producer.
Up next, Randy Orton versus Chris Jericho. Sheamus was at ringside for this contest. It ended in a disqualification. Chris Jericho defeats Randy Orton by the DQ. Thoughts?
I knew that match wasn't going to end clean.
Where was Del Rio?
They said he wasn't there.
So you have three of the four members of potentially the main event, SmackDown main event, there. But you don't have the fourth? Because maybe that makes a whole lot of fucking sense.
Maybe he was interfering in people's matches yesterday, and then today he was at a school telling people to be a star and, you know, don't be a bully.
They shot the be a star shit with the Laurinaitis segment.
I think he was on a promotional tour. I could be totally wrong. Don't quote me, but I think he was.
Still, this is your go home for your pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have all four guys there. Especially if that's what you're pushing is the match. It's like, just, yeah, you know, it's a four man, it's a fatal four way. All four guys should be there. In some capacity, just saying. You know?
Logic.
I know. I have to turn it off, and I can't.
They recapped everything, and then it was announced that Sheamus will take on Randy Orton on SmackDown. I don't see that ending clean. I'm just...
Can I rant on that a second?
Go.
Who gave her the power to do that? You are an executive assistant. Secretaries do not make matches.
They just come up with quick hit questions.
Yes, they do. And we're very good at it. But I don't make matches. And I certainly don't tell TJ Omega how to build his death traps, goddammit.
Unless you want to start making matches for Canadian All-Pro, Lindsay.
I'm good.
The light's not blinking right now. I think I'm safe.
The light's not blinking, and watch out for the green tiles.
Okay.
And if a man named Steve knocks on your door, just run.
Yeah, I would just like to point out that it's a bit unfair that I'm sitting here looking for green tile, because I do not contribute to the humiliation of TJ Omega, but you guys constantly piss him off so much, I'm sitting here in punishment, so thank you very much.
And we do it every Sunday night at 11. We do it every Sunday night on Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by BotchMerch.com.
You helped come up with this question this week. Don't even lie.
Oh, my gosh. You guys needed the name of a Powerpuff Girl, so I said the name of a Powerpuff Girl.
No, we didn't. We just said a Powerpuff Girl, and you said Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Megan Bubbles. Which is what we're calling him now. He is now known as Bubbles.
Yeah, he even referred to himself as Bubbles last night.
Damn, I wish we got
Anyway, you'll hear more from Bubbles Sunday night after extra, Overlimit coverage at 11 p.m. Eastern on WrestleTalk Radio. But out came John Laurinaitis. He pointed out that Cena lost to The Rock at WrestleMania and looked like a loser after he fought Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules. Okay. Well, no, how he looked like a loser when he won and then stood in the ring doing a promo. But anyway, this would have made sense if Cena lost. Anyway, if there were not losers like you, there would be no winners like me.
Yeah, John Laurinaitis is a douchebag. Just saying.
Out came John Cena. He came out saying, "Desperation is such a stinky cologne, Mr. Laurinaitis. If that's your real name." Cena.
John,
go ahead.
Cena kind of had the juvenile middle school thing going on tonight.
He did.
He must be really happy to have Liz Cena out of the house. Because he was in a really good mood.
Cena said Laurinaitis became the undisputed king of douchebaggery. It was bleeped.
Oh my god. I know. Whatever.
Cena got in his face, made, you know, did the whole people power line and all that fun stuff. He made a dynamic dude joke and yada yada yada. And then he said he can go puck himself. The room of puck. That's for hockey.
That's not for baseball, right? That's hockey.
What was that?
So that's okay. I'm trying to keep my sports straight. So okay. So let me make sure I got this straight.
Okay.
Punk can say bitch, and it will not get blocked. It will not get beat.
Right.
But if John Cena says douchebaggery, it gets beat.
Yes. I know.
This is what happens when we give government control over the airwaves.
Well, it also just means that Punk is more awesome than Cena.
Yeah, Cena encouraged Laurinaitis to talk, but every time he would say, "Loser!
Loser!" The whole Jim Carrey thing going on there.
He made up Pittsburgh Penguins jokes because they're losers because they lost to the Flyers. Wait, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
And then he did the whole puck himself thing. Out came the term role again. Executive assistant.
Executive administrator.
Whatever. That position she has where she's on her knees a lot, probably. Wait,
I know I am.
For God's sake.
Bada-bing. She brought out a piece of paper. Cena ripped it in half while taking it from Laurinaitis. He read a statement which says there will be no special referee. No one is allowed at ringside. There is only one way to win, and it's by pinfall or submission. And if any superstar on the roster interferes, they will be immediately terminated.
Which is a setup for Brock.
Which is a setup for either Brock to get in and interfere or Eve to get in and interfere.
No, she's on the roster.
She's on the roster.
It wasn't superstar?
That's anyone on the roster. They're WWE superstars.
Well, I thought she was a diva.
I thought she was the executive assistant or administrator or whatever. Anyway, whatever. And if John Laurinaitis loses, he will be fired.
We're not that lucky that they're going to do it on the first shot.
Well, here's the other thing. If what this is, and I'm just assuming here because I've never heard this said, if this is the board of directors coming down on Laurinaitis for being a dick, personally, Lindsay, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think rather than doing this, it would be more fulfilling to see somebody representing the board of directors come down and lay into him.
They should have had Triple H do it. He was there.
Have Vince do it. Have Stephanie do it. Have God, anybody do it. Bring down Hayes and let him do it. I mean, I know he's not a member of the board of directors, but bring in someone who has enough credibility in the company that they could be believed as having an association with the board of directors, and embarrass John Laurinaitis in front of everybody, because that's what he does to everyone else.
Well, when they finally fire him, when they do finally axe him, look for that to happen. But as far as this is concerned, there's really no need. If anything, when hearing about this, I thought this would have been a great time to have the laptop at ringside and have the anonymous Raw GM. That would have been a perfect segment for it.
It would have.
It's just really kind of interesting to see how this is going to play over because, well, I mean, honestly, if it comes down to everything, all the stipulations have been made, and the only way Laurinaitis can keep his job is by beating John Cena, and, you know, the only thing that they can do is have something happen where Laurinaitis hits him with a chair or something and gets a pin. I mean, because he could get him, well, I guess he couldn't do that because he could get himself disqualified and he'd lose his job still.
No.
But they're gonna come up with some way to get Cena, I mean, to get Laurinaitis over on Cena, and I cannot even imagine how they're gonna do that.
Jackie, remember, it's the only way to win is by pinfall or submission. So disqualifications, there are none. You can use chairs. Weapons are legal. Pointing that out there. It's a setup for Brock, probably.
Well, King Kittens actually makes an interesting point in the chat room. Johnny Ace uses Big Show as a way to get his job back. That's a possibility, too.
That's actually a good theory, actually.
No, I gotta go look at the chat room.
It's a good one. My other one was thoughts of this revolution thing that's coming.
I don't know.
Under what circumstances could Show use this as a way to get his job back? I mean,
Laurinaitis calls him in and he says, you know, if you're really sorry and you're really sincere and you really want your job back, then you'll fuck John Cena over tonight.
But that would immediately get him fired.
He's already fired.
He's not on the roster.
Well, he's not on the roster, but if my understanding is that board of directors trumps Laurinaitis. So Laurinaitis, under his power, could rehire Show.
After the fact. He wouldn't be on the roster.
No. I'm not buying it. I mean, I'm glad that you guys agree with it, but I don't buy it.
It's a logical reason. That's why it won't happen.
Yeah.
It's logical. It won't happen.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. Damn, your logic is right, King Kittens. Damn your logic.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as the promo goes, from what I heard, Cena regressed about 20 years, if not more, which I hate it when he does that, and I hate it when he cuts those kinds of promos. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, would you just stand up and be a man? Seriously? He did that shit in the program with The Rock. It irritated the crap out of me whenever he did it. It's like, God, can you both just act like grown men in the same segment? Please?
Most likely not.
I mean, I get you're trying to be funny and comical, but you're trying to do it in a non-funny, non-comical situation. This is the guy who last week had your ass beaten and nearly broke your arm with a chair. And the week before that, he brought in a hired gun to take you out. Comedy is not the best way to respond to that situation. If I was Cena, I'd be looking for blood.
But Lindsay, you say be a man, right?
Right.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward. I need a damn home play, you set it off. Hard off, now you done turns off. Doing telephone commercials, I seen ya. Dancing and tight as a ballerina. I do want to know you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from watching like I got a disease. Do play your pay-per-view, that was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight, The Rock spanked you fast. But when I tell him hoping to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood Hulkster, you're at the end of your rope. And I'm a kick in the butt and wash your mouth, I was choke. Cause, like Randy Danger, Bill, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, this wreck, so I can put you in check. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared.
You're running from a macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, homie.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought a heart would go wild like a pump.
Be a man, homie.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from a macho, that's what I heard.
I had to.
You were just looking for an excuse to put that in, weren't you?
She said, be a man, and I was like, I know something would be perfectly appropriate right there.
Well, you know, at least Savage is threatening to fuck Hulk up.
Oh, gotta love Macho Man.
You know, I didn't see it. I have no intention of seeing it. But yeah, the whole thing sounded ridiculous and silly and stupid and not a good way to send it home, especially after you have John Laurinaitis humiliate and fire the Big Show earlier in the show.
It's going to make over a limit. Trying to get a couple extra buys out of it, honestly.
I think the whole promo at the end with Cena and Laurinaitis would have made a whole lot of sense. More sense if Cena would have known going into that promo about this message from the board of directors. Because Lindsay's right, his mood was way too great when you consider what Laurinaitis specifically put John Cena through. Cena should have been out for blood. He should have been out to take off the head of John Laurinaitis, excuse me. His good mood would have been better explained had he already received this information. I mean, it seemed off.
Well, maybe he did.
And if that's the case, then he should have been the one that delivered the message. He should have been the one that walked out, paper in hand, and been waving the paper around in the ring and, you know, talking about, oh, do you know what this is in here? Or I have received an email from the board of directors. And well, I quote, do the whole shit and just read it.
I agree. And basically the only reason most likely that didn't happen is they needed an excuse to put Eve Torres in hooker heels, a miniskirt, and glasses. I mean, there was no other reason. I mean, it's just, I don't know about anyone else, and I've actually never been in a fight in my whole life, but if I'm in a position where someone beats the hell out of my arm with a chair and sends some white Japanese dude, wannabe dude, out to kick my ass, and I see him again, I'm not going to be looking to crack jokes. I'm, you know, that's just not human.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wouldn't wait a week for it either. I'd be looking to fuck somebody up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I understand this is Raw and reality suspends the second that, you know, they go off the air, but still, I would not be walking out joking and acting like a 5-year-old in the middle of the ring after what happened. I just, the storyline doesn't call for that. So yeah, that's.
It ended
fail,
with,
Cena.
Yeah,
fail.
It ended with Cena asking, what's your big announcement, John Laurinaitis? And then he slaps him.
Laurinaitis right slaps Cena in the face.
Yeah.
He most likely was going to announce something like Tensai being the special guest referee or something.
Or in his corner or something along those lines.
Right.
So, yeah, that was your area. That was everything that happened on Monday Night Raw. Overall thoughts on the show?
Considering that we didn't get any Kane at all last week, his segment should have been longer.
Oh my god.
What? He wasn't on TV at all last week.
You're getting him on YouTube. Is that enough?
Sunday.
We may get him on SmackDown. We may get him on SmackDown. Don't argue. Don't break the juju bee, okay? The mojo is going. Let's just run with it.
Oh, okay. Let's go with that. We'll talk more about Over the Limit this Thursday on the Rack when the ladies do their show at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk all about Well, for some reason, I keep wanting to call it Extreme Rules. I don't know why.
Because Over the Limit.
This is going to be the throwaway crap pay-per-view that Extreme Rules was it.
We'll see how it turns out, but we'll talk more about that, but we have other things to plug unless there's anything you want to talk about tonight before we get off the air.
WWE, again, you bug our Skype, you heard what we said, fix it.
Right.
Yeah. There's this ongoing issue where every time we say something should happen or will happen, it turns around and happens. And please, please click on the rock. Is there a donate button anywhere on this website?
Yes.
On our website?
Yes.
Okay, please contribute to my bail money fund. WWE is going to be coming, and I am going for Kane. I will be squeeing out of the bushes, and he will never see me coming. Please contribute to the bail money Jackie Feist legal defense fund.
And please contribute to the Get Lindsay Ward to El Paso show so she can watch fund.
Yeah, I like that. The Jackie Feist legal defense fund. That's what I'm gonna call it. I need to hire either Clarence Mason or David Otunga, so please, please contribute on the website.
You probably get David Otunga for cheap. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this show. Give him a thing of, get him a gift card to Tim Hortons. There
you go. I was going to give, you know what, one of the professors at my job got me like a $10 Starbucks card, and I used it, so there's like $4 on it left. I thought maybe that would do it too.
There you go.
Cool.
Tomorrow night.
Just contribute anyway.
Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. On the program, we will have Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky. Check that out. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer, Brian Blotty, and the Cheap Wood paneling. Thursday night, it's The Rack, hosted by Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist.
Yay.
Where we,
squee.
Well, they squee. No, Mace won't be on tomorrow. Kankins, no. But don't worry, there's stuff coming for Mace. He's not happy.
Oh, he's mad about the way it ended.
Is there a pre-taped rant? Please tell me there was a pre-taped rant.
He's recording something tonight.
Sweet!
So tune in Sunday for that. But Thursday night is The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night's at midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, hosted by myself and Rob Parks and Subway. We cover the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. And then Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, following WWE Over the Limit. And then we'll be back next Monday night on the WTR Raw Post Show to cover everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Ladies,
I am on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. Come follow me and listen to me squee over Kane all the time. You'll love it. It's not anywhere near as annoying as it sounds. Trust me.
No, my Twitter's the annoying one. You can follow me at Lins Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. I squee over Kane. I squee over about pretty much anything. So if you want your feet spammed during Monday Night Raw, give me a follow.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio or Facebook.com/Wild Talk. Radio Network. Remember, go to botchedmerch.com.
And buy the Real Men Have Curves t-shirt. That is awesome.
They have limited edition t-shirts, including the one Jackie just mentioned. And remember to use the promo code WILDTALK, all caps, to save 5% off your next order. Do it right now. They are the new sponsor of the Wild Talk Radio Network at WildTalkRadio.com.
Dude, the stickers are like $3. Seriously, they're cheap. Go get some.
Check them out, man. They're awesome. And if you buy them out, they will make more cool shit.
Yeah, they
just
will.
Saying.
Go buy them out.
They will. So for Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rockin. We will see you, well, Thursday, but we'll be back next Monday night with another edition of the WTRL Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Bye.
Bye.